Good evening. This is Mae Brussel. The title of this one-hour broadcast is World Watchers. It is program number 822, September the 5th, 1987. For the past few months, or for the past month, I've been announcing that at the end of September, in two more weeks, I'm going to continue World Watchers on KAZU. It emanates from Pacific Grove, California. I'll have 1 hour of news, just like I do each week, and 1 hour, and then an hour following of talk show. But I'm going to limit the cassettes that go out to the public or that are played on other radio stations because I want to cut down on the amount of mail and telephone calls and correspondence with so many different people that I want to use that time to better advantage to start writing. So instead of reaching such a large audience by radio, I'm going to divert my attention to articles and books, hopefully, and put some of this material now. It's time to put it down in writing. I did say last week that I would talk about John Singlaub and the role of the CIA and private institutions destabilizing the Philippines, but I've decided that there's something more important that I want to put on the air for this hour and exclude all the other pieces of news. It was hard to make the decision, but I know I'm making the right one, and I want to share some material with you that maybe will take 1 week or even 2 weeks. There are many articles and witnesses now testifying about the narcotics connections to South America, the cocaine connections, and the links of weapons brought in or sent down there in exchange for narcotics and cocaine coming to the United States. And one of the reasons that people on the Iran Contra Committee and the attorneys and the staffs are staying so far away from the narcotics story isn't just the cocaine is coming in through Colombia, through the Medellin cartel, and is being used to help fight the freedom fighters, as the president and others call them, the people opposing the government in Nicaragua. But the big story behind all of this is the international link of the Medellin cartel and its close affinity to the Klaus Barbie connections in Bolivia, to the cocaine connections in Bolivia, to the Joseph Mengele connections in Sao Paulo, Brazil, and to Syria and Palermo, Italy, and then back into the banks of E.F. Hutton and into the bank of the stockbroker firm of Merrill Lynch, and also the Swiss accounts represented by Willard Zucker, the banker in Switzerland who's been there since he started working for Bernie Kornfeld and Robert Vesco. The big story that the powers that be don't want to get out is the total global picture. Therefore, they can't start with the little one because the other one would connect too big, and it does connect to the Defense Intelligence Agency, to the CIA, to the Secret Service, the customs officials, and the cabinet members of the Reagan administration and those before him. Now, last week, I was talking about an important article that referred to a company in Poland where weapons were bought, where a ship picked up weapons to send to the Contras. But in terms of that article, the important part was that Oliver North and General John Secord were buying arms from what was described as Syrian's largest drug and arms family. That's Manzer al-Qasar, and I did quite a bit on him last week. And I said that if this was Syrian's largest drug and arms family, Manzer al-Qasar, with his links to Abu Abbas, the mastermind of the Kili Laura, and so forth. And these were the links to Syria of Henry Arsan, the man whose deposit of narcotics money was going to the United States, funds into Merrill Lynch and also to the Swiss banks. And then it had to link to Stibam, the organization of Arsan, and make that circle of Sao Paulo with Joseph Mengele and Barbie, lining them up again with Edwin Wilson and Theodore Shackley and Licio Gelli and Michael Ledeen, names that you've heard me mention before. But with this article that came out just a while back, actually it was in April in Newsday, titled Syrian Drug Dealer Linked to Oliver North's Arms Network and Helped Supply the Contra Arms, I knew that the connections to the Middle East, to the drug enforcement agent that went over there with the ship, the work of Ollie North and Secord, in this area, working with and buying weapons from Syria's largest drug dealer, who has his home base in Vienna, in Austria, that this eventually would make the connections that were very important the drug enforcement agent who got $200,000 plus much more. The excuse was to get the hostages, but the real story is the narcotics in that area, and then from there, sending arms to Iran and sending the drugs to this country. But I knew those connections would be coming in very shortly, but I didn't dream they'd be coming in so quickly. And sure enough, just this week, there was an article out of New Times published in the Soviet Union making very clear, or clear enough, the connections that I've been waiting for, and making the Italian connections to the Iran-Contra affair that are the least described, because when the story of sending arms to Iran first broke, there was the subject of Italian ships sending arms to Iran from the United States, and then that was hushed up very quickly. Now, taking a very conservative magazine like Reader's Digest, in November 1983, they had an article called Drugs for Guns. And just quoting a little bit of this article, it said, for years, international law enforcement tried to solve the riddle how hundreds of millions of dollars generated by Middle East drug traffic were being absorbed and by whom. By January 1981, confirmation began emerging. Within 3 years, in the Italian city of Trento, authorities indicted more than 200 heroin smugglers. Now, these dates are very important. In January 81 is when Ronald Reagan was inaugurated, and what he was going to do was to continue the path of the team before him, particularly Richard Nixon, who was very much part of this operation. Once John Kennedy and Robert Kennedy were killed and out of the way, and Richard Nixon was in, these operations escalated, and the date of Reagan's inauguration in this time period is important. The article said, by January 81, as I said, the confirmation began emerging within 3 years in the Italian city of Trento, that's 81 to 84, where authorities indicted more than 200 heroin smugglers, brokers, financiers, in a conspiracy linking them to the purchase of enough arms and ammunition to equip armies. In 1981 alone, Italian magistrate Carlo Palermo, who was prosecuting the case, said they smuggled more than 4,000 kilos of high-grade heroin and morphine base. By far, the largest portion of morphine was sold to mafia operators and labs in Sicily and northern Italy. They would refund it into heroin, send it to the mob importers to the United States. This is where the money was being deposited in Merrill Lynch and E.F. Hutton, among other places. The staggering amount was $250 million just for a short time period to the United States, and it represented a potential of $1 billion that they were talking about that time. Once again, the evidence in this case, and the article continues, goes to a drug smuggler named Bekir Selenk, C-E-L-E-N-K. And below they say Mr. Mehmet Aja, the man charged with shooting the Pope, trying to kill him, just months after Ronald Reagan was shot. Reagan was shot in March, and the Pope was shot in May. Aja, named Selenk, is the man who offered him over $1 million to kill John Paul II. And after his exposure, Selenk was murdered, and I'll do more about that later, in Turkey. They extradited him to Turkey, where he was killed. The orchestrator of the scheme was Henry Arsan, and I bring this up now because of the links that have come out between the Iran-Contra White House Defense Department and Henry Arsan, which is very important to put these pieces together. The article said Henry Arsan was a Syrian who in the late 1960s was a key morphine supplier for the former French Connection. In April 1973, Arsan attempted to sell 200 kilos of morphine base to a U.S. undercover agent. He was caught red-handed, but instead of putting him in prison in 1973, that's when, just at the time of the Watergate scandals, when Nixon was just ready to leave office, he agreed to work as an informant for both the United States and the Italian government. He managed to cover his continuing trafficking in arms and drugs, and in the meantime, he turned in his competitors. This is why the big drug arrest if you get your competitor. One vital piece of information he withheld from the American Italian agents was that he was a long-standing customer of a company called Kintex, and, of course, many of the rifles that were bought in the eastern part of the country of the world from the Bulgarians and from Russia, and the whole story of arms for Central America and for the Contras has been buying Russian weapons or a ship that leaves Poland, leaves the Polish harbor, and so forth. And then this article continues. By 1981, operating behind a Milan front company called Stibam, and I've done many years of broadcasts on this, as have David Emery and Nip Tuck, Stibam International's transport, Arsan was no longer equipping terrorists. He was arming entire nations. In October of that year of 81, he invested $8 million on behalf of a one mafia drug ring for the purchase of 20 American-made M48 battle tanks from Spain, and it showed his influence with NATO and with Turkey. In fact, the real buyer for these weapons, starting in 1981, was the country of Iran. And Henry Arsan was working for the Central Intelligence Agency and the Drug Enforcement Agency, or the Secret Services of the United States, and for the Italian government, which was set up with a large network of people heavily involved in these operations. And the country where the weapons were going was the country of Iran. And that was published in 1983. And so far, there's been very little mention of those drug connections. Now, another article just came out in April 1987 regarding a secret bank account that Ollie North and General Secord used, and it had to do with an Operation Yellow Fruit. You've read some of it, and I want to go into it more and tie these pieces together, putting Arsan, Henry Arsan, and Stibam sending weapons to Iran starting in 1981, being a representative of the American intelligence, Henry Arsan, and Italy a close ally of the United States. This is one of the articles from the LA Times describing a code name Yellow Fruit that ties in through other articles that I want to share with you. The lead story is Unauthorized Swiss Account, Shadowy Army Unit Tied to Funds Aiding the Contras. And the point about this article I'm going to share you is the secret bank accounts, but these bank accounts have to do with the Middle East and with Iran, and they only came out because of the Contra story. This is from the LA Times. A shadowy and scandal-plagued Army intelligence unit, codenamed Yellow Fruit, secretly opened a numbered Swiss account that may have been used as a conduit of funds to aid the Nicaraguan rebels. The officials said the bank account at Credit Suisse was taken over a merger of the Boston Bank with Merrill Lynch, that controlled Credit Suisse in Geneva, was unauthorized by the Defense Department and the Army Command, which did not even know that it existed until last month, March of 1987. CBS News supplied the information to the Pentagon with the account number. CBS, the diligent investigators back there, haven't never been able to find this account. People who were in any position of responsibility or authority knew nothing about this at all. CBS reported money that $75,000 from the account was used by Marine Lieutenant Colonel Oliver North and an associate, Major General Richard Secord, to charter that Danish freighter to deliver a load of Soviet bloc rifles and other weapons to the Contras in the spring of 85. And last week I was talking about that freighter, the Iria, and the money came from a secret account that the Pentagon didn't even know about, and they were buying Soviet bloc rifles to give to the Contras, but the account was set up originally for something different. The network said the money was part of a $2.5 million that was withdrawn from this special account. The Pentagon official, who asked not to be identified by name, declined to say how much money had passed through the account or say whether the funds originated with the Army unit or whether they came from some other source. And the other source, of course, is drugs, and how much could be hundreds and hundreds of millions, as I'll cite later. 1,000 million, I think, was the figure. The official of the Defense Department had information that would lead us to suspect this account, this secret account, was used by North, formerly with the National Security Council, who was instrumental in the sale of arms to Iran. And he wasn't instrumental. This had been going on since the 1980s, since late 79. And General Secord, who became an arms merchant after his retirement from the Air Force. The official said the bank account had been frozen so that funds no longer can be withdrawn. Nevertheless, the account apparently survived more than 3 years after the demise of the Army unit that opened it. it not only survived more than 3 years, but it's been going on a long time. The official said the Iran-Contra investigator Lawrence Walsh has taken over the investigation of this bank account. Now, let's see if he does anything with the bank account of Credit Suisse with yellow fruit. I doubt it. He said from the Pentagon that in order to avoid inadvertent interference with Walsh's inquiry, the Army decided not to conduct an investigation of its own. They didn't know when it was opened. They didn't know who used it. They didn't know how much was in it. And we don't want to investigate it. They said it will be done better if it is handled by one agency. The Yellow Fruit Unit was established in the fall of 1982 as part of a super-secret effort to improve the Army's ability to deal with situations such as Iran's seizure of the embassy in Tehran in 1979, November the 4th. Now, if Yellow Fruit was established for that purpose, that would be a legitimate reason for having that money or to make an operation whether you have to move swiftly. The very fact that the Pentagon didn't know about this doesn't explain a defensive operation where you want to protect American citizens, and therefore you have to have an extra bank account to do it. The article says the organization was racked by charges of impropriety from the first when it was abolished in December of 83, but as you see, that's a figure of speech because it wasn't abolished at all. Three of Yellow Fruit's top officials were convicted by court-martials of misconduct involved in the handling of funds. In addition, the commanding officer, Lieutenant Dale Duncan, was convicted in a civilian court of fraudulently claiming expense money, but his conviction was later overturned by the Court of Appeals. You bet it would be. The Pentagon official said that the Army, the FBI, federal prosecutors, and other organizations investigated the unit before and after it was abolished, but none of these inquiries discovered the Swiss bank account. However, CBS informed the Pentagon of the account number. I mentioned that before. Armed with that additional information, the Defense Department was able to verify its existence. If you give us the account number and tell us who was there and Secord and North used it, then we'll tell you it exists. The officials at the Pentagon does not know how many individuals were authorized to draw funds from the account. Of course they wouldn't. They didn't even know where it was. But William T. Golden, a retired Army warrant officer, now employed as a civilian in the Army Department at Fort Huachuca, can't pronounce it right, Arizona, was one of the account signatories. Golden was assigned to Yellow Fruit Unit on active duty. He was the chief accuser of Duncan and other officers in the unit. The Pentagon official said he did not know why Golden didn't report the bank account earlier. They accuse these people of mishandling funds, but they don't know where the bank is, and they don't know about the bank number. It said he may have put his name on the signature card without knowing what he had done. The Yellow Fruit Unit was headquartered in suburban Annandale, Virginia. It established a cover organization called Business Security International, BSI, was their cover. And many of you have heard of that. And it apparently remained in existence as a corporate shell. The Army unit was disbanded, but these people kept it for what purposes? And Yellow Fruit was active enough into the Iran-Contra scandal to identify it as a source of money deposits. They don't know how much. They didn't know the number, but the cover was in Virginia, and people like Secord and Oliver North, who were going to travel with a DEA agent and buy arms from Syria's largest narcotics peddler and arms dealer, you can wonder what Yellow Fruit was used for and how long. Now, another article that seems separate but isn't separate at all, they all tie together, came from the Houston Post. This is August the 31st, 1983, just last week. Now, several weeks ago, months ago, Program 803 in April, I talked about a firm called Peregrine that was set up by our Defense Department. Some of you might have heard it. Some of you may not have heard it. Peregrine described themselves as a group put together in 1981 as, quote, hired guns who had no qualms about blowing people away. Like the Delta Force, they leave nobody alive. And the purpose of their activities would be normally prohibited by U.S. law. But the men who set it up together, Gary Howard and Ronald Tucker, both said that their work had the approval of Mother, remember that broadcast, which meant State Department, CIA, and Defense Department, and Howard and Tucker were involved in Pentagon intelligence specialties. They worked with the former head of the Defense Intelligence Agent, a retired Army Lieutenant General Samuel Vinson. They worked with Lieutenant Colonel Wayne Long, senior military top of Secret Military Intelligence Unit called FOG, Foreign Operations Group. And the point is that these men had very high credentials, and the president of Peregrine Company was an officer, Major General Richard Meadows. In 1981, there was that rescue mission in Iran that failed when Jimmy Carter was so badly smeared. And three of the people involved in that rescue mission were working three units under Oliver North that stayed together. One was the ISA, Intelligence Support Activity. The other is the SEALs, Team 6, and the other is Task Force 160. And once Ronald Reagan was elected in 1981, and Jimmy Carter was a whole election nomination, not the nomination, but the election victory was sabotaged, certain people went on to get high jobs in the Reagan administration. One was Oliver North in 1981, who went from the War College right to the National Security Council. The other was Richard Secord, who worked with the rescue mission in Iran, who was then hired by William Casey in the National Security Council. The other was Major General Richard Meadows, who helped with the sabotage, was in on the 1980 rescue mission. His face was on the cover of Newsweek. He immediately got a company called Peregrine in 1981 when Reagan was in office. John Singh Laub had access to the White House and began his activities of coups that began long before the Iran-Contra scandal broke open. Singh Laub is a retired general who was busy overthrowing countries and putting in the hands of dictators. And working through Western Goals and World Anti-Communist League, Singh Laub had immediate access to the White House that he didn't have. He resigned when Jimmy Carter was president. William Casey, who helped steal the papers from Ronald Reagan's desk, became CIA director. William Allen, who was in on the debate papers and the sabotaging of the Iranian rescue or assisted in that, became national security advisor. And Edwin Meese, long identified with the stolen Jimmy Carter papers, became attorney general. So the change of power from Carter to Reagan was evident in the very high positions, the highest positions, of the people who helped him steal the election. And now I want to get back to that Houston Post article of Howard and Tucker, who worked with these teams, and Mr. Meadows in 1981 became the head of Peregrine Associates. But they've been asking the government for some money. Mr. Gary Howard and Ron Tucker have been asking for money, and the Houston Post has a story saying that the two Austin men, Gary Howard and Ron Tucker, helped in Texas with the arrest of a gentleman, Mr. Ian Smalley, who was sending arms to Iran. He was an Iran arms dealer, and one of the big problems going on was that the only Stiebaum and the Italian connections got the big money for sending the arms to Iran, and the other people were not only they either were not arrested, they were let off, or their case was trumped up to keep them from making the profits and keeping them out of the Iran arms business. And you read about these arrests in New York, Los Angeles, and so forth. Well, a man named Ian Smalley, and his name was in the paper just a few years ago, and I remember saving the article, he was called Dr. Doom. He's one of the world's foremost arms merchants, and he was sending weapons to Iran, to the Middle East. So Mr. Tucker and Mr. Howard, who were working for the Texas Department of Public Safety as a narcotic agent, and they were working for the federal agencies, were given the assignment to follow Ian Smalley and stop his arms to Iran. And the two men did this. They were doing this until Peregrine was formed in December of 81. And they seized a plane, a Boeing 707, with a large amount of weapons that was bound for South Africa, and that was called Houston One. And then they also worked on the case of Ian Smalley and tried to interfere with his sending weapons to Iran. When the Iranians caught on to what he was doing and suspected him, they found out that he was working for members of the late Shah's entourage and that they were trying to overthrow the radical government of Iran. And also, Peregrine, one of the purposes of Peregrine, the stated goals of the military, was to kill Khomeini and overthrow Iran. So when they discovered what he was doing, Smalley decided, well, maybe he'd send the arms to Iraq instead. And then he had another plan for sending arms to Iran. He had a ship bound for a port in the United Arab Emirates, and then the plot was to kill the freighter's pilot before its arrival, then divert the arms to Iran by killing the whole crew, send it to Iran, and then part of the arms would go to Iraq, and King Hussein could keep profits from the arms sales. Well, these men worked very hard on this case and put about $1.5 million into chasing where Ian Smalley was sending his weapons and how he was sending them, which indeed he was doing. And he was also working with the government to stop them impounding airplanes that belonged to Gaddafi. They're held in Marietta, Georgia, and he wanted these released to a third party and then sent to Libya. So when these men caught on to what was happening, then the government dropped the suit and the customs decided to drop the entire investigation, not to file any charges against Smalley, and then they wouldn't give the $1.2 million back to the men who they allowed to form the company Peregrine, but they wouldn't pay him back for following Smalley for a year and getting the information they needed to prosecute him. Now, part of this article in the Houston Post that caught my eye said that in the suit, Mr. Tucker and his co-worker Gary Howard said that the Texans claimed they were led to believe that the then Treasury Secretary Donald Reagan knew about and supported the operation that was going on, that he supported this operation. Now, Donald Reagan's Merrill Lynch, when he was chairman of it before he became Secretary of the Treasury, is linked to that Steve Baum connection to Syria and the deposits that went into the account in New York. And these people are claiming in a suit filed in Washington this past week, we want the money because we did all the work. We put in $1.4 million into this operation. We followed Mr. Smalley, Dr. Doom, the foremost arms merchant. He was sending arms to Iran. And these men work with the Defense Department. The Peregrine Company works directly with the Defense Department and with John Singlaub. And their complaint was that the whole thing was dropped after they located how the weapons were going to go, and also plans to get airplanes to Gaddafi that he's been wanting. And the paragraph that was interesting, besides the connection of these people of the Defense Department to Iran, was the fact that in the suit they were led to believe that the Treasury Secretary Donald Reagan knew about and supported the operation. Now, I want to go on to an article which just came out of New Times, August 17, 1987, titled The Mystery of Operation Demavend. Demavend is the name of a mountain in Iran, and this is where the connections begin to come together. There's a map in this article of Operation Demavend and Oliver North's group, and when they bring in Oliver North to this operation, then you understand what I was trying to say last week on World Watchers program about the connections of Syria and Henry Arsan to the arms to Iran, something that had been going on for a long time, and that bank account in Credit Suisse of the Yellow Fruit operation that North and Secord operated is something that they inherited that was a continuous operation, and that the arms to Iran went that way long before we knew about the Iran-Contra affair. I was doing broadcasts 4 years ago, as was David Emery Niptuck up on KFJC, about these particular people that I'm going to get into. If I have time this hour, otherwise I will continue it next week. It involves Glauco Partel and Henry Arsan and the Nguyen Bank, and makes a full cycle of how deep the narcotics traffic is around the world, linked to worldwide Nazis, and also the weapon sales and how they are delivered. And it's part and parcel of a world operation, not simply the Medellin cartel floating a few drugs into Fort Lauderdale or into Miami from Colombia. Now, this article, this is the article, The Mystery of Operation Demavend. The masterminds of the Iran-Contra affair, this author says, Lev Maharovich, I hope I pronounced it right, the masterminds of this affair still remain in the shadows, but they left plenty of traces, particularly in Italy, for instance. And this whole article is about the Italian connections of our Defense Department and the drugs. The testimony so far revealed by the Iran-Contra group explained half-truths, numerous omissions, part omissions, and not to speak of all the shredded material that was going on for a long, long time. And maybe with this story, you'll understand why Oliver North was shredding papers from October when Eugene Hasenfuss landed. And then when he said to Edwin Meese, how long do I have, 24 hours or 48 hours, this may explain what some of the shredding was. When you refer to arms to Iran, he said, I didn't want people's lives to be lost. I'll take a one-minute break now before I begin this article and do these connections for the remaining half hour.